we're going to spend an hour on Monday on the subject of migraine. And we want to learn all about what the very latest treatments are, medications, approaches, techniques, etc. And someone who can help us then is going to help us now answer a question on how do you do that. That's Dr. Carly Levine, who runs the Headache Clinic over at the University of Rochester Medical Center. And Dr. Levine is on the line with us now. Doctor, thanks for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Well, we ask, how do you do that? Our segment right now is, how do you diagnose your migraine triggers? I'm somebody who has suffered from migraine since I was 17. And the last I had heard, it was about 6% of men, 18% of women. I'm sure you'll correct me on that. But we often hear, if you suffer from migraine, that there are certain triggers. But there's so many variables, and it's hard to actually go about figuring out what your triggers might be.
Correct. I mean, your estimates of the prevalence are, you know, fairly accurate. I think, you know, the key about migraine is that migraine is a brain disorder. And essentially, people with migraines, in a very simplified manner, have oversensitive brains. And so it means that their brain is sort of always on sort of high alert, and a migraine can be triggered under certain circumstances. Some of those circumstances are things that people can prevent, such as, you know, eating regularly, getting enough sleep. Some circumstances are out of our control. For women, often hormonal changes, the weather. And so when we talk about triggers, it's not so much that they are causing the migraine as it is that they're sort of lighting the fuse that's already there in the brain. And so the way that we figure out what people's triggers are is for them to pay attention, actually to track their headaches with a diary and to see if they can find a pattern. So for women, for instance, we have them track not only their headaches, but when do they have their menstrual period, and can we see a pattern that links to that? We ask people to pay attention to their sleeping. You know, did they not sleep well and then they woke up with a migraine? Or was it, you know, a week later of not sleeping? Changes in stress can be a problem. So it's not inherently that increased stress causes migraines. I mean, it can, but sometimes decrease in stress can cause a migraine. So some people will be stressed out all week, they go home on the weekend, and that's when they get their migraine. So everybody's a little bit different, and it's just about tracking and paying attention.
You see, I wanted you to come on and tell us that we're all the same and that now we actually know what everyone's triggers are, and unfortunately it doesn't work like that. But are there more common triggers, or at least is there a way to at least start somewhere to say, okay, this is the most common trigger, let's start here?
So the most common triggers that we see are lack of sleep, so alterations in sleep pattern, stress. So either usually it's an increase in stress, but sort of significant change in stress. For women, hormones are the most common trigger. And around here, frankly, I think almost everybody has a weather trigger, but not everybody. If you look at the literature, people don't talk a ton about weather, but it's true that barometric pressure change is pretty common. But I'd say that the big three are stress, sleep, and hormones. And the other thing, too, that's common is alcohol. That's another very common trigger for many migraine folks, particularly alcohol like wines that has nitrates in it. So those are good places to start.
Once again, for our listeners, on Monday, this coming Monday, we're going to spend the 1 o'clock hour speaking more broadly about migraine, about treatments and approaches and what we do know and what we don't know and what the most recent research tells us. But right now, we're just asking the question about triggers. How do you find your triggers? You mentioned, Dr. Levine, you mentioned weather triggers. And interestingly enough, I was going to ask you, what does a weather trigger mean? Some people seem to think that it comes from seasonal affective disorder or long winters, but you're saying it's really just about atmospheric pressure.
I mean, yeah, it's not actually something we know precisely why it happens, but most people, when I ask them carefully, it really seems to relate to barometric pressure changes. And so I actually have a couple of people who will watch the barometer, and when they see it changing by a certain point, they know they're going to have a migraine. They can actually take their medicine ahead of time and prevent the migraine. Not everybody is that, you know, sensitive, but it's quite common. And around here, like this has been a particularly rough time for many of my patients because the weather has been very quite variable.
Mm-hmm. How about hydration? We hear hydration once in a while, but I don't know if I've seen any research that indicates hydration is a trigger.
Well, I think time where people, skipping meals is a common trigger. And so going along with skipping meals is people often will skip drinking water as well. So I think that that goes in the category of sort of eating regularly, staying well hydrated. And it is true, you need to do those. Whether it's a specific trigger in each person, that's a different story. But overall, people with migraines want to make sure that they eat regularly and stay well hydrated.
What about light?
Light, yes, for some people, particularly fluorescent lights and, you know, computer screens, that can be very troublesome for migraine folks. And bright sunlight, and often bright sunlight that kind of comes through the leaves and dapples, so sometimes people are quite sensitive to that kind of changing of light. Not everybody, but there are people who will tell me if I look at a certain light, I get a migraine.
We're talking to Dr. Carly Levine, who specializes in migraine at the University of Rochester Medical Center. And she mentioned something that if you or someone you know suffers from migraine, you've probably heard the idea of trying to track what you eat, your sleep, your schedule, et cetera, in finding your triggers. And we're asking, how do you do that? How do you find your triggers? I found some frustration when I tried to do that, Dr. Levine, because, you know, for example, sometimes in some sources I've read that avocado could be a trigger, a food trigger. And I eat a lot of avocado. I eat a lot of banana. I read that banana could be a food trigger. I eat a lot of pineapple. I've read that pineapple could be. And so I found when I was trying to track food triggers that I found a lot of foods on a lot of different lists that might be triggers, and it's really hard to sort of peel back and find one variable. And maybe there's not one variable, but I found that to be challenging.
Yeah, and it's challenging from my end too, because I have many people who come in and have tried various diets, and I'm not saying that dietary changes can't help some people, but there's no single food except perhaps MSG, you know, certain things like that where we know those are triggers. But everybody is different, and I think that not everybody is triggered, in fact, by particular foods. And so I take a very practical approach and say, let's go after the most common triggers. In other words, what we were talking about with sleep and...
stress and hormones.
Exactly. But not everybody, not every headache, not every migraine will have an obvious trigger, because some migraines just occur. For instance, the people who wake up with them in the morning or have them wake them up in the middle of the night, it's not likely that anyone did anything to trigger that migraine. The brain of a migraine person is already sort of primed and ready to have a migraine, and not all triggers are those that we know about. And so I don't think it's always useful to go too crazy about eliminating every single food that's possible. One practical approach, though, is if you think that a certain food, for instance, chocolate gets a bad rap, if you think chocolate is a trigger and you eat a lot of chocolate, it would make sense to eliminate chocolate for a period of time and see how you do. If you think dairy is a trigger, eliminate it. And so sort of one at a time, try to eliminate foods that you think are troublesome. But it is difficult, and most people who end up seeing me have tried that, and it hasn't really done much.
Thanks for taking the time to join us about triggers, and looking forward to the next conversation, speaking more broadly about treatment. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Carly Levine from the University of Rochester Medical Center.